David's Bridal, where brides and bridesmaids get fabulously dressed. We let our friends pick out what we wear, show off our dance moves, obsess over every little detail, hold your hand through it all, smile bravely when it's time to let go. Make your dreams come true. The things we do for love, only at David's Bridal.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, good evening and welcome, one and all. You may have noticed this isn't the voice of Pastor Ernie Sanders. It's his loyal sidekick, Pastor Joe Larson, sitting in. Pastor Ernie is a little under the weather tonight and hopefully getting some sleep and recovering from, like a cold flu. Apparently a lot of people have it right now. And we can all just say a little prayer for his recovery and easy time. Nothing threatening, but it did knock the big man down. So I'll be filling in tonight and hang on, because we still have a really wonderful program for you. And the title of the message tonight is Messages of Christmas. You look at the news, it's depressing. There is a lot going on that is not good news for peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We have a communist revolution going on in America. We have all over the world crisis, dissension, violence, war, one world order trying to take control. And then you hear we've had several instances of psychologists or psychiatrists on the telly, and they're talking about the post-Christmas blues, the after-Christmas blues, the big letdown. After all the excitement, the shopping, the gifts, the parties, the family, and everybody's depressed and blah, 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 blah. So my first thought was, that didn't happen to me, didn't happen to my wife, didn't happen to many of the brothers and sisters and family that I'm aware of. So my first thought was a hymn, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Back in 1864, kind of like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And that hymn, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Well, I want you to listen to the words, not the music. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. In music sweet, the tones repeat. There's peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. For Christ is here, his spirit near, brings peace on earth, goodwill to men. Think about that. When men repent and turn from sin, this is the part that most you've never heard. The Prince of Peace then enters in, and grace imparts within their hearts his peace on earth, goodwill to men. O souls, admit, amid earth's busy strife, the word of God is light and life. O hear his voice, make him your choice. Hail, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then happy, singing on your way, your world will change from night to day. Your heart will feel the message real of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yes, peace on earth, goodwill to men, but it only comes to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For Christ is here, Christmas, Christ. God sent his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, he came to bring us something. He came to bring us several gifts. I saw a cartoon. It was Snoopy and Charlie Brown sitting on a doghouse, and the doghouse had some Christmas lights. And it's night, and Charlie Brown and Snoopy are staring up at the star. And the cartoonist wrote, "Keep looking up. That's the secret of life, Snoopy. The star of Bethlehem, the star that told of the Savior's birth. The star that lightened up the sky, that showed the way to what? The Christ child. And who is the Christ child? Well, let's start in John 1, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And what did Jesus tell us? Now in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." In John 8, verse 12, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Luke chapter 1, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. We have to have a way to be guided unto peace. Scripture said the light guides our feet to the way of peace. The light is Christ. His light shines the way to the Father, to everlasting life, and to Jesus himself. We need a guide. We can't get there alone. We were given the Christ child. We were given the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And we have been given history, his word, his history book, the Holy Bible. And it's our guide to what? Peace, happiness, salvation. Luke in chapter 2, verse 10, and I'm using the scripture to tell the story. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The offer is to all who will accept him. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christmas is, in our sense, the start. The birth of the Savior is the start of the New Testament, the new covenant God made with man through his only begotten Son, the son that went to the cross. They did a substitutionary death that paid the price for our sins. His birth was the beginning of that salvation. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We are the ones that are supposed to foment peace, to show goodwill toward men by our behavior. Scripture makes it very clear. Jesus said, as you do unto the least of these, my brethren, in other words, our fellow man, you do unto me. So through our behavior, our acts of love, our acts of giving, our body is supposed to be what? A living sacrifice. By doing good, showing goodwill unto our fellow man, we are showing peace, goodwill toward men in the earth. Christmas is a time for hope. Hope for the born-again believer, most especially, and yet hope for all of the world if they would but accept Christ, because there is peace for the soul. The hope is only through Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. There is no other way. And the world must, needs hear of his hope. And we are the way he's chosen to tell the world, using his word to bring peace on earth, to bring hope to a dying world. I was looking through scripture. I use a little help with the computer. There are 121 verses about hope in the Bible. Must have been kind of important to God to, you know, put it in so many different ways and forms. Must have been very important, something he wanted us to understand. Psalm 16:9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. All through the Psalms, hope, hope, hope. Psalm 141, for example, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. That's respect or in awe of. And those that hope, again, hope in his mercy. I noticed that was repeated many, many times in Scripture. Hope in his mercy. Romans 5, verse 2. By whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 8, 24. For we are saved by hope. I never thought of it that way till I reread that. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. God's made us promises. We have to use our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ for his promises to be fulfilled in us. Some of them be fulfilled when we're born again, when we become part of the family of God. The others we must wait and hope for. Romans 15:13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, joy and peace, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking, of course, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we're given our down payment on our salvation when we become born again. But the God of hope is the one who fills you with what? Joy and peace. It all started with Christmas. Ephesians 1, in verse 18, the eye of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Our inheritance, well, Jesus tells us what? We become joint heirs with Jesus in everlasting life. Joint heirs with Jesus. Wow. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, is the hope of glory. There's a whole sermon there. I think I could, you could do an entire round-the-wheel Bible study. The riches of the glory of the mystery is Christ in you, the indwelling of God himself in you. That is your hope of glory. 2 Thessalonians tells us, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. In fact, Scripture tells us he loved us before we were conceived, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, through God's grace. Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 2, tells us, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Before the world began, we were what? Promised eternal life. Before we were created, even. And chapter 3, verse 7, he said that being justified by his grace, by God's grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs of the kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus to the hope of eternal life. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. 19 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. Anchor to our soul. We're anchored, we're sure, we're steadfast. We know positively. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that he's coming? He's given us the indwelling now until his coming again. We will be have God with us until Christ comes to take us home with him in person. When we are in the physical presence of God and see him, whatever form he's in, we know the Scripture tells us we shall be just like him. Makes me think of the book of John about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John 14, 16 through 26, well, I won't read it all, but, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, forever in your life. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you, speaking to the disciples. But the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, in 15:26, John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit shall testify of the Son, Jesus, the babe in the manger. So we have this unique thing where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are together. The Comforter is a part of God, is God. The Father will send him in the name of Jesus to dwell in you and be your comfort. The greatest comfort in the world, the indwelling of God himself in you. You can never be alone. You will never be without comfort. You have not only God's word on it, but you have God himself dwelling in you as your body becomes what? A holy temple. You become your own high priest in your own temple, the living God through the Holy Spirit dwelling right in you. How can you not be filled with joy and comfort and peace? Your salvation is assured. No matter what happens tonight, tomorrow, the next day, no matter what happens to you, your salvation is assured forever. Then I was reading 1 Peter 1, in verse 3, it said, "Blessed be God, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope within us because what? Jesus Christ rose from the dead, conquered sin, the world, death, was victorious. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Not meekness, it means gentleness. And fear, that's that awe of God, that respect, that awe of who God is, this God that created the heavens and the earth, that loved you enough to send his son to die for you. We are to be sanctified in our hearts because what? God wants us to be able to tell others. Why are we born again? Why are we saved? Why are we at peace? Why is Pastor Joe at peace? Why is he not sad, depressed, scared, worried like the rest of the world? Well, my home's in heaven. And I was thinking about that, too. I've got this hope of everlasting life, going to be with Christ in his home in heaven forever. Clear back in Leviticus, excuse me, hit the cough button. I've had a lot of allergies today. Leviticus in chapter 25 says, "The land shall not be sold forever." He's talking about the Holy Land. He said, "For the land is mine." Well, all heaven and earth, all earth is his. "For ye are strangers and sojourners with me." God said, "You are strangers and sojourners on this world. This isn't our home. Our home is really heaven. We're just sojourners here." Or, as you hear John Wayne, pilgrims, and that came from Hebrews 11:13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." We've got it easy. In those days, they had to believe in the promise of the coming of the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. We have the story of his birth, the story of his life, who changed the world, you know, B.C. before Christ, A.D. after the death of our Lord, the Holy Bible, even time, the whole setup of time was changed by his appearance and his life on this earth. Yes. Then, what did Hebrews say also? In 11:16, that they now desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We all desire a better country than what we have here on earth. Because what? Well, God tells us we're a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The light. Snoopy, Charlie Brown, looking at the light of the world, the hope of the world. The world must hear about this hope, this light of the world. And we must be telling the world about that. Hope, peace, joy to the world. And what? Using God's own word to do so. And I think we're coming right up on a break. And right after the break, we're going to have a little message. Pastor Ernie has a audio clip that we're going to hear right after the break. So stay tuned. There's a lot more coming. You ready?
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state?
Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
Our adversaries, China, Russia, and Iran, will have a preference in 2024. For the presidential outcome, and that is for Joe Biden to continue to be the president. Joe Biden has been good for business for China, Russia, and Iran. All have gotten stronger around the world. I dissented from the intelligence community's majority and said how China was trying to influence the outcome of the 2020 election, and that has been corroborated. In fact, the FBI has walked back intelligence and has said, no, China did try and interfere, continues to try and interfere in elections, and that's going to continue to be the case.
And that was the former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, breaking news with me last month on Fox Business's Mornings with Maria on China interfering in U.S. elections. Now, a new declassified report is out from the National Intelligence Council, which confirms exactly what John Ratcliffe told me there, revealing the extent of the CCP's operation happening under President Biden's watch. The report writes this, quote, "We assess that these directives gave PRC influence actors more freedom to operate ahead of the midterms than the presidential election in 2020, probably because PRC officials believed that Beijing was under less scrutiny during the midterms and because they did not expect the current administration to retaliate as severely as they feared they would in 2020. Joining me right now with reaction is former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe. John, it's always a pleasure to see you. You have been so wonderful in truth-telling to the public. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Maria.
So give us your take on this National Intelligence Council report. I've got the intelligence community assessment in front of me right now. Is China getting ready to interfere in our elections in 2024?
Very clearly they are, Maria, but what the report also tells you is what you outlined there, which is that the intelligence community has to grudgingly walk back the erroneous assessment that in 2020 China was sitting on the sidelines. Look, I was very vocal that we had collected specific intelligence of a specific plan or campaign by China to interfere in 2020 for the specific purpose of helping Joe Biden become president and harming President Biden to become president to harm President Trump in his reelection efforts. And what this report acknowledges is that that's exactly what happened. And they had to walk it back because the independent ombudsman came forward and said, look, there were analysts for China that were suppressing intelligence deliberately because they feared it would help President Trump. And so now you have Joe Biden's own director of the NSA and head of Cyber Command acknowledging that China is going to intensify those efforts in 2024, that our greatest geopolitical foe has and will continue to want Joe Biden to be the president for the next 4 years because, I mean, stating the obvious, he's been very good to China. China wanted him in the first place because Donald Trump had been so tough in terms of trade and tariff sanctions against China. China correctly believed that Joe Biden would be more pro-China. And frankly, thought that he would be weaker as a commander-in-chief. And clearly those things have played out.
And now we know that during their cakewalk in the park, when Joe Biden met with Xi Jinping in San Francisco, Xi Jinping was very clear to Joe Biden, telling him, yes, we are taking Taiwan, and we are expecting you're not going to do anything about it. Your thoughts on what was said during that meeting in the park?
Well, I think that underscores why they wanted Joe Biden to be the president. That's exactly what President Xi and the readout from Biden's own White House acknowledges, that he said, I'm taking Taiwan. I want to do it peacefully, but either way, I'm going to take it. I'm going to reunify Taiwan. And, you know, there was no response from Joe Biden. We know that from the White House. And the appropriate response, of course, would have been and should have been, look, we've respected the one China policy, but we also respect Taiwan's right to self-governance and self-determination. And if you interfere, all bets are off. But those are the messages that have never been delivered by Joe Biden. The same Joe Biden and the administration that won't confront China on COVID, wouldn't confront China on the spy balloon. All of these are the reasons why Joe Biden is in many ways the dream candidate for China to continue for the next 4 years. They've advanced so much. They've undermined us in the Middle East. They've gained footholds further in the Asian Pacific regions. Everything has gone well for China from their foreign policy standpoint, and it's gone poorly for us. So obviously, clearly, they want that to continue. And so what, Mario, they're going to do, and what the acknowledgement is they're going to intensify their efforts, meaning they're going to deploy cyber weapons to try and influence election infrastructure. It means they're going to engage in social media influence campaign to influence American voters. They're going to do the things that they can to help Joe Biden continue to be president, because it is good for China if he is.
Yeah, and that's why we constantly ask, what does Beijing have on Joe Biden that he's so soft? In fact, we learned today that there was a secret effort underway to hide not tell the American people about the surveillance balloon that he allowed to float freely in America until South Carolina. You told us first on this program that this was a surveillance balloon and it had a whole payload of surveillance tools on it. What are your thoughts on this news this morning that the administration tried to hide it?
Well, I think it underscores another issue here is part of this is just a lack of competence. I mean, Joe Biden's national security team has been incompetent. That's why we've lost ground and lost influence. We've lost strategic deterrence. You know, it's why we're being pushed around. I mean, China loves the fact that, you know, the Biden administration essentially lost and ran from the Taliban, and that we're currently being pushed around by the Houthi rebels and being held hostage, Americans being held hostage by groups like Hamas. I mean, all of these things show that the Biden administration just isn't very good at this. And that's why China wants this to continue. It's good for them when America has a weak commander in chief. And I think that, you know, the whole spy balloon thing, we talked about at the time. We won't know for a long time just how much this degraded our national security posture, but we know that it did. We know that a transcontinental voyage of spycraft for 8 days uninterrupted, it was a huge embarrassment. I understand why the Biden administration didn't want anyone to know about it. But the fact is, it's something that should have been addressed. They should have been more honest with the American people. And the only reason that they're being honest now is because they got caught, because it was observed.
Unbelievable. Look, we've been talking about election interference, and yes, we know that it's happening from China, but I want to get your take on why and if it's happening within this administration, because there have been breaking news, a whole host of stories this week from Special Counsel Jack Smith, the Supreme Court, the Colorado Supreme Court trying to keep Trump off the ballot. I want to talk to you about election interference from Joe Biden's henchmen in the DOJ. Let's slip in a short break.
All right, we are back. That clip kind of made clear from someone with a lot of authority, a lot of knowledge, John Ratcliffe, about China and meddling again in our election. And that's why we have been telling you for some time the other side is going to cheat, do everything they can to keep Biden in office. And that's why we have to get every friend, neighbor, family member, everyone who can to the polls on election day and exercise that wonderful right to vote. This is one time the Christian church can't sit out the election. The past few elections, we've had millions of Christians who did not vote. And I hope that clip will help motivate you to talk to friends, neighbors, family, and tell them what has to be done. We have to counter an enemy. We have enough. God has given us the ability to counter it, but it's up to us to see it through. Okay, I'm Pastor Joe Larson, and I'm sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. This is What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. And I'm going to start off with a really odd story, but I've got a reason for it. Sonia Semyonova, she's 45, and She claims that she's in an erotic relationship with an oak tree. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's described herself as an ecosexual and says she's an erotic relationship in an erotic relationship with this tree. Now, the key was she said she has always felt lonely, but her new relationship with the tree has filled a void. Always lonely, yet she says she's a self-intimacy guide. She's lonely, but she professes to be an intimacy guide, although she can't get along with men, can't find somebody. They're always a fantasy to her, she says. And she said the feelings she experiences with the tree are what she has always looked for in a person. Ah, now listen to this. In a person, the feeling of being tiny and supported by something solid, the feeling of not being able to fall. And when I read those lines, I thought, I am small, I am tiny compared to the God of the universe, the God that's so big, so powerful that he created the heavens and the earth. You want to talk about something solid, something solid? God's solid. He's eternal. He's all power, all knowledge, all presence. He's everywhere at all times and at all places. He knows everything, and he's all powerful. She's lonely, looking for something to fill a void. She found it in a tree, in the creation, not in the Creator God, but in the creation. She's talking about the article about she would stroll past this large oak tree near her home and starting clear back in the summer of 21 and walking a path near the tree 5 days a week for a whole winter. And she started to get this connection. There's this eroticism with something so big, so old, holding up my back. And she goes on, she doesn't engage in physical acts with the tree. It's, you know, it's a bonding thing. She said erotic meaning, you know, that there's a bond with this nature. You know, it's different than a sexual intercourse with people, but it's a, you know, mental thing. Mankind is lonely. Sad. There's a lot of loneliness out there. As I talked about in the Bible study, I can never be lonely. I have the indwelling of God himself, the Holy Spirit within me. I can never be alone. And with all the blessings, if we follow him, he gives us brothers and sisters in Christ for fellowship. Oh, that's what the lady's missing. And it brought to mind something from way back. There was Jonathan Edwards, was a preacher. He gave a great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was kind of spread the great awakening revival back in our early history. He said, there is no leveler like Christianity, but it levels by lifting all who receive it to the lofty tableland of true character and of undying hope for this world and the next. Oh, kind of tied into my Bible study. It lifts us, this hope, Christianity. Lofty tableland of true character, undying hope for this world and the next. And it went with an idea. This person was comparing teaching to children. It was illustrated by an analog using computer technology, talking about the differences between hardware and software. The hardware is the hard drive and the memory chip. Software is the programs that run the computer. So if you apply this to a child, a student, the physical brain is the equivalent of hard drive and memory chips. And the software, the thoughts, the belief system, the values that are given to a child that guides the actions of the physical brain, of the computer, of the hard drive. Now, Jonathan Edwards, a man named A.E. Winship, was a historian. And he did a study in education and heredity back in 1900. And what he did, it was Jonathan and Sarah Edwards, about them and the training of their children, and that this Christian belief had a rippling effect. So in this book he wrote, Studying Education and Hereditary, he listed Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan, and Sarah Edwards' descendants. There was one U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, educators, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries. Now, remember, this was written back in 1900, where we still had some pretty honest lawyers and public office people. Then his study also looked at a family known as Jukes. Back in 1877, a man named Richard Dugdale was visiting New York's prisons, and he found inmates with 42 different last names, but all of them had descended from a man called Max. Max Juke. Max was a drunkard, idle, irreverent, uneducated. Following this computer analogy, Max's children had been infected with a software virus and malware. His descendants included 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50 women of debauchery, 130 other convicts, 310 paupers who combined spent 2,300 years in poorhouses, and 400 physically wrecked by indulgent living. Their bodies were wrecked by indulgent living, destroyed. The Jukes descendants cost the state, remember this is well over 100 years ago, cost the state over $1,250,000. So that, you know, we're talking 10, 15 times that in today's money. There is no leveler like Christianity. It lifts up. It lifts up. It brings out character. It brings out hope. And the teaching of your children, how they're educated, well, it makes a big difference. And what has happened to America today? We have sent our children to the devil to be educated, to colleges and universities like Harvard and places where God isn't welcome, where DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, racism, all kinds of things are being taught. America's bad. America's full of hate. God is dead. We need a one world order. Look at the difference between the children of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards and the descendants of a man named Jukes. The historian Arthur Joseph Toynbee died way back in 1975. He did a 12-volume study of history, and he described the rise and flowering and decline of 26 cultures, 26 from Egypt and Greece, Rome, Polynesia, Peru. And I want to give a kind of a synopsis that he came up with. He said, civilizations, well, they die from suicide, not by murder. And Toynbee said he saw religion as a prime motivation in history. He said, when I started this great research, religion was not a prominent feature. In writing my study, I have been constantly surprised to find religion coming back to fill an even greater place in history. He continued. So what does the universe look like? It looks as if everything were on the move, either toward its creator or away from him. What do you think about that? Here's a man spent years writing a 12-volume study of history, 1934, 1961. This is when he was doing the writing, describing the rise and flowering and decline of 26 different cultures on this earth. And what he had to say was, in the middle, it was people, the land, the nation was moving toward God or away from God. He wrote, "The course of human history consists of a series of encounters in which each man or woman or child is challenged by God to make the free choice between doing God's will or refusing to do it. When man refuses to do God's will, he is free to make his refusal and to take the consequences of that refusal." I wish this kind of thing were taught in the schools of America today, because this great historian, this great researcher, came up with one of the great truths of history, and yet Joseph Toynbee is not taught in our colleges and universities. His books are not given out as a reference. And he taught at King's College in London, London School of Economics, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, well known. And now you know why you won't find him being taught at Harvard, Yale, Duke, Brown, because he told the truth about the world. Coming up right after a short break, we are going to have another clip. And the clip is an evil incarnate, just endorsed by the Biden and Harris administration. It's a rather long, it's about a 9-minute clip, but it is powerful. I want you all to listen carefully and hear it. And if my clock is right, I've just got a few seconds left before the break. So, I'm sorry, how long? Oh, 2 minutes. I'm off. When I started work tonight, I looked up in my atomic clock that I use to guide me during the program. I guess the batteries died. I didn't put in new batteries. And to reset the thing, you have to put new batteries, set it in a narrow window, and get light into it to reset it and all this. So don't have it tonight. So I'm playing by ear with the help of Stiles, who is managing the board for us tonight, and we appreciate him greatly. He is a wonderful help, and we couldn't do this kind of thing without him. It's very difficult, I want you to know, to do a show when your guest is not there in the studio, and things aren't easy for the engineer there, and they're not particularly easy for your host. So think about this for a minute, the story that I told you, especially this idea. Civilizations die from suicide, not by murder. And that he noticed that religion fills a great, great place in the study of these civilizations. So everything that he studied was on the move either toward the Creator or away from him. Where is the United States headed today? It's headed away from God. When our founding fathers put the country together, gave us a constitution, we were headed toward him. Look at the difference between then and now. Okay, we're going to have a short break, and we'll be listening to that clip, An Evil Incarnate.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon Recruiter Service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.